When he lost himself, I am thine, O Lord. He began to be out, go on like anything. And the people were afraid, went, reported their head. What is going on there? Go and see. He is in the intoxication, way out of everything. Repeating the word Tera, Tera means I am thine, I am thine, I am thine, you see. Then further, Baki khatam kar diya. Baki khatam kar diya. Then the account was made, you see. And what happened about 300 years old, he, Guru Nanak was not due from him, but due to him. Sometimes it happens so, you see. When you are lost in God, power helps in a very mysterious way. But how many there are who really are His? Can you say, I am thine, O Lord, mind, heart and soul? We say physically, there may turn of some few like that. And also, I think, financially too might turn out some people like that. But how many there are who heart and soul are His? Very few. The real devotee of God is one who surrenders everything to Him. Body, mind and soul. So in that intoxication He went on way and out, and people ran up to the head. Well, look at what is happening in your stores. You will simply give away everything. And they came and they just took an account. And what happened, about $300 or more were due to Guru Nanak and not due from Guru Nanak. So to surrender is very... If you can... You become His then? His thine? Yours? Kabir says that all the world over is gambling in the world ways. Some lose, some gain. Again, that goes on all through life. He says, oh dear friends who are gambling in the world, I would just tell you my example that I am also gambling. And how? So gambling goes on between two men, isn't it? If you lose, you have to give away everything. If you gain, you have to take away from the other body. He says, look here, I am also playing gambling not with the world but with God. Then what will happen? He says, if I lose, I will become His. And if I gain, He will become mine. In both ways, He is the kingdom. So we play with the world, you see, why not play with God? Very common saying, you become, if you lose, you will become His, is it not? And if you gain, then He becomes yours. Either way, you are one with Him. So, those who just come to that realization and lost in very uttering the word of my Lord, I am dying, forgets everything. His mind, body and everything. That is true devotion, true love. And love always gives, knows giving, not taking. Once it so happened in the time of 10th Guru of the 6th, Guru Gobind Singh. These are God intoxicated people, mind that. What are you to do? Once he sat down, he was praying, God, O Lord, this all, everything is your emanation, it is your, you are imminent every form, everything is thine, you are all this, what we see, it is all thine, whether it is the earth or the sky or the stars or the rivers or the mountains. It is all thou yourself, thyself, thou thyself. Then in that intoxication, you have just said, it is you, everything, it is you personified. Then you began repeating, it is all you, it is all you, it is all you. And in that intoxication, he sat 3 days regular, lost. No. So this becomes a fate, a very rare, who devote everything to him. It's so happened, you see, in the life of Mahachetan Prabhu. He was a saint, you see, in Bengal, in India. Every saint has his own saying, you see, which reminds them, him of God. He everyone, wherever he went, he said, all right, well, speak of God. Glorify God. He just, once it happened to go to a place where there are machines for cleaning, you see, washing clothes. In the old days, there were no machines like that, you see. There are men, washermen were there who used to wash clothes. And there were regular placement for that purpose. There were many washermen. Work there. He went to there, he stood by one man who was washing clothes. He said, glorify God. Say God. In his own language, of course, Hari Bol. Hari Bol means glorify God, think of God. Glorify God. He said once, twice, thrice, he thought perhaps some beggar has come to want, he wants money. He kept quiet. Again, when he insists to you, say, glorify God, why don't you go? He said, he does not let me go, just let me repeat and say so, so that he may leave me. No sooner he repeated the very words, he became intoxicated. Charging was there. He began to also say, but he left the work, began to glorify God, glorify God. Other maids came up, what has happened to you? Because of glorify God. The result was, all washermen working over there, all began to glorify God. So this is the intoxication for which we go to. God intoxicated me. This cannot be had by reading scriptures. The prayers, etc., they are meant to come up to that state. So, Shrimad Tavrej tells us, well, if you glorify that way, become intoxicated, everything becomes intoxicated. Who you are seeing, he will become intoxicated. He is in every form, he is imminent in every form. Then he said, well, dear friend, I have got so much intoxication within myself, within my soul. If I leave the body, and body is cut into pieces and put into the field as a manure, any corn growing out of that. He does not speak of the man who eats, you see, that bread made from that corn, but he says the man who cooks, bakes the bread, and also serves, they will become intoxicated. What to speak of those who eat? Well, after all, there is something, you see, about which we do not know so far. If we have a little doubt of that intoxication, we'll forget the world. For that purpose we go to masters. For radiation, those who are receptive work wonders. Whenever they see such like person, just like Maulana Rum says, just a drunkard, you see, when he sees the wine sparkling in glass, he is up and down by looking only, you see. Similarly, those who are intoxicated with the love of God, they look in the master, that God, you see, scintillating within him. They become intoxicated, they look into the eyes, they see up and down. So these are the things which are the gift you can get from God intoxicating man. This cannot be had by reading scriptures, by performing outer rituals. There's a step for that, of course. Say prayers, be lost. Ramakrishna Paramahansa, when he said prayer, he was like that. Go. The body was dancing. The answer like that. This is what is called the love of God. By saying name, you lose yourself, forget yourself. Our body, mind, and outside, all in violence. I think you eat one of you, have got some experience of it. When you come to ask somebody whom you love, your eyes turn. Is it? This can be done, you see. The other way too. So that is why it is said, love knows no law. This is a gift. Cannot be had by books. Naturally, when you come across such environments, you feel radiation too. The more receptive you are, the more you become collective. We used to have this incident with our master. Sometimes people came up, stood by him, he forgot. He stands still, eyes are open, he doesn't know he's listening. That's intoxication. So that is why it is said, spirituality cannot be taught but caught. Where it is. Generally, the love, what we call love, truly that is not love, that is misfit love, misdirected love. The love which starts in the body and ends in the body, that is no love. That is lust. It starts in the body and dissolves in the soul, that is. So there is very great difference between the two. The first life blinds your vision. Second life opens your eyes. You are transferred. If once we have just a little experience of that, my world is nothing. When you go on planes, some the plane flies 30,000, 40,000, 1,000 feet. Well, all below is very insignificant. So for that reason, you see, you'll find animals observe brahmacharya more than men. Any animal, you see, when he goes eat, it doesn't eat. First thing, there is time for. They are missing now. And man has no time. It's a pitiable state. So that is why we are born not to eat, but eating is made for us. So that the body may be maintained. This is a golden opportunity that we have got. Maintain it. Keep it as long as you can. What for? Not for eating. waiting for you to maintain it, so that you may know God. Similarly, all other organs are there, required to be controlled. Paul must have made great steps on that way. So these are the two things specially. What is all that, you see? All these five senses practically mean the same thing. And they hinge on only desire. So to be desireless is to cut off the, exterminate the very root of what the thing. So many masters have come to say that Buddha said, be desireless. Then Guru also said in his own language, be desireless. Kamna mahi. When you've got no desire, there's no question of anger. What is anger? When you want to do something or have something, somebody appears to be standing in the way, directly or indirectly, that very impediment in the achievement of your desire is called anger. You see? When there's anger, you see what happens? You better speak slowly. Take the example of one little rivulet or ordinary canal, you might say, going down with the narrow channel. When it is there no impediment in the way, it goes on smooth. Then put a big stone in it, the water retards, strikes against the stone, and two things happen. One, crowd and home by striking. And the other, there's nice. So even those men who become angry, they kind of speak slowly, and there's home in their mouth. Then, when there's any touch, oh, I must have it. There's no reason why I should not have it. He puts in all efforts in having it. He makes parties, this and that. When he achieves it, he does not want to leave it. He's attached. This is God's attachment. And then he enjoys. So, all five senses hinge on the one thing, desire. Out of these, as I told you, two are the most important or the strongest ones in total in the body. So all masters have been telling like that. So whenever you go to the everybody, you see, they say, just it is life. And we lack very much, you see. And sexuality is death. Though you are not married, they should observe strict chastity. Though you are married, they should regulate their life according to what the scriptures say. And what the scriptures say, I have just laid out before you. So in Mohammedans, almost every scripture they say the same thing. So the abandonment of sensual desires draws the soul towards heaven. The more you control this, the more you are nearer to God. Because on this very power depends the health of mind and body both. Your intellect, your brain, your physical body. And further, if this thing is developed very wonderfully, they say what you eat, that forms child. From child, blood is formed. From blood is formed fat. From fat comes the bones. From bones, the pith in it. And from the pit, this thing is formed. How valuable it is. As I told you, animals have observed more celibacy than men. They have no time. So all masters, let any unchaste look, thought, or act, in all profanity of speech, is declared to be unpardonable. We don't pay attention to these things. A perfect man must be pure in every word and in every action in his own life. So Holy Spirit comes to him from the day one becomes pure. You know how, what is the utmost necessity of being pure in heart. That is why Christ said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall be, not others. And further you find in Christ our Lord said that dogs are better than them. So all masters have been named, especially Shankaracharya. Amongst the Hindu religion, you say, when a man follows the way of the body, the true wisdom is not born in within him. When you attach to the senses way of living, where did you do anything? Similarly, lust and temptations are like the sharks in the river of life. Sharks, they eat up the man. Kabir says, lust and anger, they just eat away the body, just like, you see, when you put some, what is called, father God knows what is called this side, if you put on that, the gold is melted. So on these, you see, as the dawning of the yoga, which is said, as the dawning of the day is simultaneously with the crossing of the mind, passing of the night, so the dawning of true knowledge follows simultaneously with the dawn of, you see, control of the self. You see how important it is and how we have let loose these things. So all masters, whether they came in one religion or the other, they have been very, particular about this path. And nowadays, how dangerous it is, you see. Young men, women, I don't know whether you take it ill or not. I don't think I'm telling you the angry pity and the state of fear that we are having nowadays. They are let loose, going like any wild animal. Running here, there, it doesn't mean marriage is a sacrament, I don't know. It is not a contract. As I told you, Christ said, yes, husbands should love their wives, as Christ loved the child. This is the main thing, you see. Who is affected with passions cannot obtain liberation. This is what Shankaracharya said. Not one, each religion says so. We belong to one religion or the other, but we don't follow the teachings. So fascination by the body is a great debt for him who is seeking liberation. I'm quoting you these things from the scripture. These are not my words. To whosoever, whichever religion you belong, well, it is there. Chinese philosophy tells us, to be guileless and pure, this is the way to nourish the spirit. When lust and desires are deep, the springs of the heavenly are shallow. What more you want to tell? What we are doing? These very things are given a great stress, but we people don't care, that's the pity. Buddha says, I proclaim the annihilation of dust, I teach the doing away with lust. Nirvana means the subsiding of all human passions. When inner fires of lust are extinguished, then one enters into the Nirvana. This is the lesson. So whatever cut down, you see, this is the most important thing and the most thing we want. I tell you, when we were quite young, our brothers and sisters were born, we used to ask out of curiosity where from this we have come. And we were told that the midwife has left it here. So innocent life we had. Our parents had so chaste life. Children didn't know how the children were from the come. And now small boy knows. Why? He sees you. How can you expect that to happen? So this is the subject which is most important and the mostly ignored. So this is one thing. With this everything follows. May I quote you history? Napoleon, whose name dreaded the whole of Europe, when he was caught in the Waterloo, you see, his people would be falling down the night before. Indian history shows, pretty odd. Invaders came, he repulsed them. But the day he fall in this way, next day he will come. Your own experience will show, when you go in for that, the following day you are not happy. Your spirit is down. Your eyes are sunken. Excuse me, I have just taken up this subject. Some friend of mine was asking about it this day, that there had been one article issued in the papers on this day. They are recommending all these things, whereas these are deadly against the higher principles of spirituality. So as I told you, control of organs of sense is the first thing, the life of confidence. You see, this lust will assail us. How? Through eyes. You want to save yourself, don't look into the eyes of others. Anger is flared up to the ears. You see? How to control it? Well, leave that place. The more you have, the more anger is flared up, you see? And you won't talk slowly. You won't talking like anything loudly, and what will be result, there will be foam in your mouth, you see? And you get it. But as it comes through, stay. They've got centers in the body. When you just, you're attached only to your son, daughter, and you hold your fear. These are centers in the body. So man body, you see, the highest in all creation, we have it. Simply, if you withdraw, how to control this? The best way. Just control your attention, withdraw it from outside, bring it up to the feet of the soul, which is at the back of the eyes. That's the way of it. When you have full control, this can be had by regular practice, I would say. Practice makes the man. You see your eyes open, you may not see. With your ears on, you may not hear. When your attention is controlled, so I tell you, Prophet Muhammad, he says two things. If you control two organs, one which is between the two lips, and the other which is within the two thighs, he says, I am responsible for your liberation at the court of God. Tulsidas says the same thing. If you are truthful, humble, humility, and chaste, consider others and mothers, sisters and daughters, help your wife. That also for wives, they are not a machine in mind that, excuse me, I am a bit very clear today. There's not for that purpose, that's only one duty, not for me. He says, I am responsible at the court of God. Kabir says, I will forgive all sins, not who is left. We have got no chastity left anywhere on this. So these are the basic things we play out. Others follow. So to achieve God is just to have faith. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they can see. You are always thinking to mind that. Simply sit down and hear what others say. Either they will be speaking of the dirty things, excuse me, or animosity for that. What is this? Any thought, I tell you, any intention that is considered somebody is retarded, proving impediment in the way that turns into anger. So we must have a life of contentment. This is what is necessary, Paul wants to say. So all scriptures tell us to love God, love all humanity. God delights in every heart. So for that, ethical life is stepping stone to spirituality. These are the two main things. Others also there, but these are two main things. Here we are. Very middle. It is the tongue, you see. You have no control for eating or saying anything, you see. Think twice before you talk. What is this word I am uttering will this carry effect? Is there any controversy? Quietly follow what he says. You are in anger, mind that. Never say anything. Be quiet. Do the other thing, what you say. These are the ways to be, to just save yourself from these. But the highest aim, this is one thing. If your love for God and God resides in every heart, we are of the same essence as that of God. Then naturally we'll have love for all, no hatred. When you love everybody else, you won't harm him. You won't use up his rights. You won't tell lies. You see? All things follow. So love, God is love, and love is the way back to God. And for that is necessary, you must have a life of continence. So this is, I think, the last that I can give. I've been referring to these things in my talks and just enjoining on you to maintain your diaries. Perhaps you were thinking these things were taught for somebody else. This is the stony ground on which you can raise your building. Otherwise you're raising your buildings of sand. I think the best I knew, and I found that I've given you. Man's highest aim is to know God, and whatever there are retarding factors, we should eliminate. What are helping factors, we should adapt. So who has God, whoever God, to solve the mystery of life? Naturally, that is the greatest aim in his life. But this question cannot be stamped out, must find solution sooner or later. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Where fire burns, oxygen comes to help. Demand and supply is law of nature. God sees my child is after me. He makes some arrangement to bring you in contact. Who has known himself and knows God, sees God as I see you, you see me. And he gives you how to control these outgoing faculties. All outgoing faculties can stand still if you control your attention. So that is what the masters always give. Surya, that way of the attention, controlling your attention. They give you an experience how to analyze yourself, how to rise above body consciousness. how to be reborn. Except you be reborn, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's a matter of pure self-knowledge. Blessed you are. In the grace of God who have been put on the way. Christ said to his disciples, blessed are ye who see things when the old prophets and righteous could not see. Blessed are ye, you hear things but the old prophets and righteous could not hear. So you could see, you could hear. Is it not a great blessing of God? They go on further, you see. Just have self-introspection of your life, like a strict judge, like a hard taskmaster. Don't spare you. And go on with your meditation, weed out all imperfections, and your diet at regular intervals, and love for all, love God, love the life in every heart. Those who do not love cannot know God. So these things, I think, the best of things, few words which I could give you, and the last day I'm physically leaving you tomorrow. So please keep it in your heart, live up to them. The more you live, you'll feel blessedness within you. Remain in any religion you like. Religions are our schools of thought. To know God, that's all.
Getting late.
Yes, of course. But getting 11, think. What's the time?
20
hours. Oh, my God. That's it. Anyway, all right, I thank you all for all the cooperation, you see, and help extended by you, not in words, but in thoughts and deeds, you see. You have been helping the cause of God. In other words, you have been helping your own selves and helping me too. My wishes are always with you, that God power is with you, can never leave you. We'll be extending all feasible help and protection. I'm glad to hear from you about your spiritual progress at regular intervals, say quarterly. Give your wish what you want. Long John Smondo. So you write a letter of 8 pages, sometimes people write 10 pages, 12 pages. So what I do, those are small letters, reply the first. So long letters I keep it over for later. That's what I have to do. So write short, to the point, what you want. That power within you, that will compensate you. Say it out. How you feel, what is your any difficulty, you see, in your meditation. Your diary shows everything. If there is anything special, you can put it. That will help, you see. You also, and I think I can attend with correspondence increasing, I know. By leaps and bounds, because men are good and born. And I wish each one of you to remain in contact. Attend your good meetings. See, those who are there have love and respect for them. Love one another. For the sake of God and the God in mind. So I wish you all, you see, best of my wish and love.
Good evening and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. We are coming to you from the Ruhani Satsang Retreat at beautiful Lake Junaleska in North Carolina. The recording you just heard was a morning talk entitled What is True Love, Part 1. It was given on October 25, 1967 at Salwan Ashram. Our reader tonight is Jessica Webb. Hello, Jessica.
Hello.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, good evening from me and welcome. Tonight I'm going to be reading from Morning Talks. The first one is chapter 22, the difficulties in the way of developing devotion to the Master. To abide by the teachings of the Master is just like a treading a razor's edge. The more you walk on the edge of the razor, the more it will cut your feet. What does this mean? The more you abide by the teachings of the Master, by the sayings of the Master, the more you have to tear up your old name and fame, what you are, whether high or low. You have to care only for the Master. What he says is Bible truth. This is what God said through the Quran, and all masters have said the same thing. So we must abide by his sayings, whether the people admire us or not. You have to be true to the God in you and the God in him, not caring for what the people say. Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. To keep the commandments of the Master is difficult. Sometimes, for one reason or another, we evade keeping them, or we fear what other people will say. So always abide by what your Master says, the God in him, whether the people admire you or not. You must abide by the teachings, sayings, or orders of the Master and live up to them, irrespective of whether the world admires you or otherwise. When a man develops inside, naturally, he sees the God in the Master. There was one disciple of Nizam Abdul Awliya called Huzro, who worshipped his Master like anything. The people began to say, look here, he is a Mohammedan. He is worshiping a man, a body. He is not a Mohammedan. Huzro replied, I don't care what the world says about me, whether this or that thing. I'm a devotee of my Master, and I will abide by what he says. So we have to live up to what the Master says. If he says stop, then stop. That's all. He who lives up to what the Master says, who pays obeisance to the words, to the orders of the Master, is the foremost to get salvation. For those who simply obey him physically but do not live up to what he says, there is yet time. The time factor is most necessary to enable you to have full emancipation. So the first difficult thing on the way to devotion to the Master is that you must abide by what he says, irrespective of whether the world praises you or not. It may be possible that he says something that does not appeal to your intellect. But what is your duty? When the officer in the field orders fire, what will the soldier do? He must fire. The Master will never say anything which is not becoming. It may be that you do not understand what he says all at the time, but he has some noble purpose behind it for your betterment. That is why it is very difficult to follow the orders of the Master. I was just giving an instance from my own life. I was ordered by my Master not to go anywhere except to the place of satsang. I was always busy in attending to the sick, the poor, holding satsangs, and helping people in difficulties, sometimes till late at night. Then I stopped altogether. People went to the Master and said that I do not visit them anymore. The Master said he won't go. One lady came up to me at that time and said that her husband was on his deathbed and asked me to come see him. I told her, well, dear lady, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid that I cannot go. I cannot transcend the imperial wall laid before me by the Master. And so she went away. The next day she came again and said, my husband said that in the name of the Master, please come. I shed tears. I told her, well, the Master is to look after him. I'm sorry, but I cannot transcend. Her husband died. Two or three days later, after our master came to Lahore, I met him, and that very lady also came up and complained to the master, saying, "Look here, master, my husband was crying out for him to come, but he did not come." The master looked at me and said, "If you find any such event, you should go." Now, wherever I should go, whoever I should see, he must die, because I had to go only when a man was dying and not before. People complain to the master, "He does not come to attend our sick. Even when they are dying, he does not care." The master told them very bluntly, "All right, if somebody of his dies, don't you go. Just look to the difficulty, you see, how difficult it is to abide by what the master says. Once my elder son, he is here, fell sick, and the doctor said he would die in 2 or 3 days. On the third day, he was quite near to his end. I was told that I must attend him, so I took leave. Fortunately, or unfortunately, there was one day on which I had to go, under the orders of my master, to give a talk at a place about 30 miles from Lahore. I thought, well, the doctors say that my son will die, and here is my master's order. What should I do? Oh, well, it is for the master to look after him. I cannot prolong or cut down his life. So I left for the place where I had to give the talk, and it was about noon when I finished. The place where I gave it was so near to Biaz, and I thought that I should like to see the master. It was a very hot day, I remember, and I reached there at about 2 p.m. When I arrived, the master sent for me, and I went and paid obeisance to him. He was lying on his bed, and when I came in, he sat up. The first thing he said was, "What about your son? How is he getting on?" I told the master that he had been very sick and that the doctor said he would pass away in 3 days, but the master's orders were for me to give a talk. The master became very sad, and I said to him, "Whoever thinks of you, all his grief and sadness go. Why are you so sad?" The master said, "Well, look here, you have thrown your burden on me, and I have to take care." So my son never died, and he is still alive. You follow how difficult it is to keep the word of the master? Another time, my baby daughter died in the evening, and I had to go to conduct the satsang at a far-off place. These are very ordinary things, but we have to obey the master's orders. Early in the morning, I sent for Dalip Singh and gave him directions to attend to the disposal of the body in my absence. Other people said about me, "What is he doing?" But still, I went on my job. You follow me? To keep commandments of the master is very difficult. We simply make an outer show of obeying the master's orders, but do not live up to them. Even in his absence, orders are orders. The very order is the guru, is the master. Those who pay obeisance to the words of the master are sure to be emancipated. This is one reason why devotion to the master is like walking on the sharp edge of a razor. Second, bhakti, or devotion to the master, does not need any outer forms or rituals, acting or posing. Just live in a simple way. The master has got a very human touch, I would say. He is a man like you and lives in a natural way. No acting or posing, no show, nothing of the sort. This is but natural. So these are the two things which stand in our way of full devotion to the master. This is why it is difficult to speak of the love of the master. We can make oceans of talk, but how far do we abide by his commandments? An ounce of practice is better than tons of theory. Those who obey his commandments will forget whether they are a Sikh, Mohammedan, Hindu, or Christian, they will never think in this way. They will just consider themselves a devotee of the Master. Once I was invited by a loving disciple of the Master to a place located in the jungle wilderness, and I promised that I would go. There were some other people living near that place who were not in my favor and who said they would kill me if I came. Those who were with me were afraid to go. I said to them, "You either come with me or I will go alone. When I have promised, I must go." When I entered that wilderness, all those very people who were against me showed up. "All right, friends, come on, guide me on the way," I said. They were running before me to the place where I was to give a talk. I told them, "Look here, I am not a Sikh, a Mohammedan, or a Radhaswami. I am not a Christian, but I am a devotee of my Master. My ism is that of my Master. You can come to me or not." They were all changed. The loving disciple was waiting for me there in all anguish and crying for me. So bhakti knows only devotion to the Master. He will do what he wills. A devotee will not await the orders of the Master. He will divine what is the intention and will follow it without having to be given it. This is why there are difficulties in the way of devotion to the Master. It is just as difficult as walking on the sharp edge of a razor. So the main thing lies in what? If ye love me, keep my commandments. This is what Christ said. Those who keep the commandments and live up to them will have emancipation sure and certain. To keep the commandments of the Master is to live up to them, not only to have them in your brain. He may be before you, or you may be in his absence. You have just to abide by his word. That is the God in you, the Master in you. So for these two reasons, guru bhakti, or devotion to the Master, is difficult. He may give us something, or he may take something away from us. It is all his. Like a treasurer, he may send you some thousands of rupees and ask you to send 2,000 rupees to such and such a man. You are only a keeper. To be true to the Master is to be true to his words, what he says. We should live up to them, whether people admire us or speak ill of us. The Master does not know any show, no acting, no posing. He lives always in a natural way. To keep his words in your brain is not sufficient. You must live up to them. An ounce of practice is better than tons of theory. Food that is digested will give you strength. Food which is not digested will cause disease. If the Master is situated at a place thousands of miles away from you, then you must develop receptivity. From radios and televisions, you hear the voice, you see who is speaking. The God-man is word made flesh. He is everywhere. You simply have to turn your minds and hearts in his direction to develop receptivity. You will then have help from there. However, to come into contact physically with him cannot be underrated. In this way, you come direct to the fire. In the other way, you have to direct your attention. Here, you have little or no effect to make to direct your attention. You see him with your own eyes. You follow me now, how devotion is developed, how it can be strengthened, how you can transmute yourself by devotion. See, now we should judge where we stand. If our hearts are devoted to one, and for the sake of that one, we are devoting selfless service, that will not become binding, mind that. If you are only devoted for the outward name and fame, so that you will have a good name in the world, then you are bound. You will go where you are attached. Masters have been explaining these things in their own way, and you will find that the sayings and scriptures of all masters speak of the same things. But he who has done it practically will know what true devotion means. For this purpose, you should be regularly devoted to your spiritual practices. You should also keep your diaries, as this will make you regular. I always enjoin, send your diaries blank. How long will you send them in this way? 1 month? 2 months? Then you will feel morally obligated to do something. You will become regular. I will then say, all right, please put in more time. I never chastise anybody, even those who do not do as I say. I just request them again to please do as I tell them. So this is the purpose of the diaries and how important it is to keep them. How many are there who really keep true diaries? Sometimes people simply bring their diaries to me and I see that they are all clear, but that little or no experience has been had. I tell them, dear friend, your diary is all right, but you should have gone to the third plane. The heart which is not attached anywhere, which never thinks of worldly things, nor has any failures shown under the different headings on the diary, will be pure, and God must sit in it. He is there already, but he will become manifest. Next chapter is chapter 40, The Condition of the Lover of God or the Master. What is the condition of the lover of God or the Master? His attention is always riveted on the Master, the God in him, even while eating, drinking, or sleeping. Sometimes you may become so much engaged in the Master that you do not remember whether you have eaten or not, who you are or what you have been doing, who has come or who has gone. This is the ultimate goal. Such a man is awakened within to the Master and asleep outside to the world. Now our condition is that we are awakened to the world outside, but are asleep towards the Master, the God in him within. For example, I see you before me, but I am asleep from without. Asleep means that I am not conscious of what is going on in the world outside. Similarly, when I see directly in front of me, I am awake here, but asleep from within. If I am awake within myself, to the God in me, or the God in the Master, then I am asleep from outside. Do you follow my point? So the lover of God is awake towards him and asleep from outside, but he is not to actually run away from the world. One saint in the West said, when I want to be all alone, I go where? I go to an inn where people come and go, but I am unconcerned because I am all alone. Pity it is that we are not alone, but have so many thoughts that come from within, and we are concerned with them. So this saint said that when I want all solitude, I go to live in an inn where people come and go, but I am not connected with them. So this is a sort of awakening from within your own self to the love of God in the Master. Well, if you are absorbed, you will become one with the Master. Shemez Tabriz said, I become you and you become me. You become my soul, so much so that people do not differentiate whether it is you or me. St. Paul said, it is I, not now I, but Christ lives in me. All those who have gone within say the same thing, of course, in their own language. If you direct your attention, which is the outward expression of your soul, wholly and solely to God, or to the God in man, then you won't see his face, but you will see the light emitting out of it. That is the criterion. Such a man is asleep from outside and awakened from within. So we are attention, or sarat, you see. Our attention is the cause of all this machinery going on in the body. The preemie, or the lover, is really awake within and asleep outside. He is in the world, yet out of it. This is the ultimate feat of love, which is called charity. It is not lust, but love or charity, and is innate in our own self. God is love, and love is God. And that is part and parcel of our own selves. When that is withdrawn from outside by the concentration of the attention, then wherever it is directed, you are wholly and solely there. If you direct your attention to the Master, you will become what he is. Whatever is in him will be transmitted to you, reflected in you. One master said that the master who has become a master was once a Sikh or a follower. When a Sikh or follower is fully absorbed into the master, he becomes the master. But first, he has to become a true Sikh, a true follower. When he is absorbed in him, he becomes the master. When he speaks, it is the master speaking in him. These things are referred to in the books, but cannot be explained like I'm telling you now. These are practical things given by a practical man. His word is the law, the Quran, the Bible, or the Guru Granth Sahib. What is in the Quran, the Bible, or the Guru Granth Sahib? They are the sayings or words of the masters, the God in them. They are past masters speaking through books. The masters were once followers, but when they absorbed themselves wholly and solely into their master, they too became masters. The trouble is, what we want to become masters, we want to become masters, not followers. If you become a true follower and absorb your whole self into him, mind, body, and soul, then people will say that you are a master, but you need not say that you are a master. Here, people make a grand, heinous mistake, I would say. They want to become masters, not followers. The result is that they are retarded on the way. So try to be a true Sikh, a true follower. Be wholly absorbed into the master, and you will become the master. You need not ask for it. God will choose you. The master will choose you. He watches everybody, though he does not say anything. All are in the make. Who becomes that will have it. You follow now? What is love? Who is a lover? The lover becomes the beloved, and the beloved becomes the lover. All differences of mind, body, and soul are swept out of the door. This is, in a few words, who is the guru and who is the Sikh. So try to be wholly and solely a follower. I think you will then have what you are after without asking for it. So this is the subject referred to today. We should be awake from within to God or to the God in man and asleep from outside. That will come only, will result only, when your whole attention is absorbed in him. The outward expression of the soul is attention, and we are attention. Is it not so? With one attention of God, the whole creation came into being. God said, I am one and wish to become many, and lo, the world is formed. If we withdraw from the outside world and become absorbed in Him, we are micro-gods. These things are not given so vividly in the books because it is a practical question. So try to be a true follower wholly and solely in mind, body, and soul. You will become masters. You will see one day that you are not what you were before. Even now, if you will take a cursory view of the past, you will see that you are better than before. Now you are not what you want to become 100%, but you are 10%, 20%, 50%, but improving. So go on to be a true follower of the Master, so much so that you absorb yourself into Him. Then you won't know who is in you and whether it is you or He or He or you. You will have become, it is I, not now I, but Christ lives in me. The follower should be, what to say, in the tomb of his guru. He should enter into it and be absorbed. This, and the master gestures to his chest, is the tomb. The living master lives here, and you are there, so you should leave your body and enter into his tomb. This is the ultimate goal of love, and you are just to see where you stand. It is a great good fortune to have a living master, a true master. There are many masters, 101, 1,001, but they are only acting and posing, or on the way. Anybody who follows them is led away, and those who help them are also led away. Furthermore, they do not derive the full benefit of coming to a true master. So that is why I say, if you love the master, you must keep his commandments. The ABC starts from this. If you become like him, he is always with you, talking to you, going around you. Kabir says, I am now so pure at heart that God is after me, calling my name. Oh, Kabir, oh, Kabir. Kabir is going forward and God is following him. God is seeking somebody who is awake to him and asleep outside. That's all. And then as Master writes near the end of chapter 39, which I didn't get to, but it's a favorite. He's talking about when beginning to meditate. You should sit in a humble manner and pray, O God, help us. O Master, help us. I am at your door. Please raise me up. O God, help us. O Master, help us. I am at your door. Please raise me up. And this concludes the reading for tonight. Thank you, and thank you, Master.
Thank you, Jessica, for reading Master's gracious and beautiful words. There were 45 callers at tonight's satsang and 28 people in the retreat room. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you to our Divine Master for bringing us together to receive your loving guidance.
Love is true love, which is our charity, which is already ingrained in our soul. If that is directed towards God, that is true love. God is love, our soul is also love personified, and the way back to God is also love.